This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pender, founder of Her Women's Health. And I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey. So today I'm going to be chatting all about ways to reduce anxiety during pregnancy and postpartum. And this is a really important topic because our current maternity system in Australia is very focused on our baby's medical well-being, and there is very little focus on the health of the mum and especially emotional and mental health of the mother. So really I'm excited to share this live and podcast with you guys to help with some tips that you can take into your pregnancy journey and into postpartum to minimize stress and anxiety in the body. Now, as I said, the current maternity system, we show up at the hospital, we have scans. Usually there's a 20-week growth scan, the nuchal scan, and there's a few appointments that you might either have depending on whether you're shared care with a GP or at the hospital with a midwife or an obstetrician. But most of the time you'll show up to your appointment and you will have a scan to make sure that baby is growing. You'll have a checkup on fundal length, so a measurement of the uterus, and there'll be very little time for conversation about how are you going in your pregnancy, how are you coping with the changes to your physical body, how are you adjusting, how is your mental health, how is your emotional well-being. So I think it's really important, especially with the increase in a perinatal and postnatal anxiety, that we talk about emotional well-being and that we talk about the impact of stress and anxiety during pregnancy and postpartum. So that's what I want to talk about today. And I will just start this talk by saying that if you have a history of trauma, or if you are finding that your anxiety is significantly debilitating and you feel the urge, I would highly recommend seeking professional advice from a psychologist who is trained, particularly in perinatal anxiety. Today's discussion is all about tips just to regulate your nervous system, some self-care rituals, the act of setting boundaries that can help to reduce your stress, some breath techniques and self-care rituals to help improve and regulate your nervous system, and just other causes of perinatal and postnatal anxiety that I want you to think about and explore. So the first thing that I'll talk about is the impact that the whole picture has on a woman's mental health. So I think stress and anxiety is very multifactorial. And for a long time, Western medicine has just seen everything as separate. So the physical body is separate to the mental and emotional body, and our mental health is separate to the physical body, and it's only influenced by neurotransmitters. So we've kind of dissected things, and the Western allopathic model of medicine, it's very good at zooming in and identifying, you know, what structural things are going on and really zooming in on layers upon layers. But it's not so good at looking at the whole picture and the impact of systems influencing each other, and the fact that anxiety and depression can actually be caused by, there can be impacts of past trauma, there can be impacts on neurotransmitters and dysregulation of neurotransmitters, but there can also be lots of other things that compound and impact our mental and emotional well-being. So The first one that I really want to highlight, especially in pregnancy and postpartum, is nutrient deficiency. I don't think that is recognized enough. And I see a lot of postpartum mothers who start to notice symptoms of anxiety or stress. And so often it is because of their nutrient deficiencies. So I think we need to look at the whole picture, and we'll start by focusing on pregnancy. So in pregnancy, there is significant increased demands of the fetus for certain nutrients like zinc and magnesium and iodine. And if the mother doesn't have good stores of these herself, I think about it like a bank account. So imagine you've got a savings account, and then the savings account keeps being drained into the spendings account. So baby keeps taking the energy stores, which, you know, in the bank account analogy is this currency. It's translating that currency into energy and into growth of and development of structures like neural tissue. And this, if, as I said, if the mother doesn't have big reserves, like a big bank account of reserves, then she will slowly start to get depleted. And the research now around the impact of particularly magnesium and zinc and copper on our neural pathways and on neurotransmitter development and hormonal fluctuation is really significant. So if mother is depleted in something or a combination of all of these things, then that can predispose her to increased perception of stress in the body and potentially predisposing her to anxiety during pregnancy or postpartum. So the first thing I think is really important to highlight is the impact of gut health and diet. And so making sure that you're getting plenty of nutrients, having an understanding of the nutrients that are important in pregnancy, and blood testing your nutrients. So if that's not something that you're routinely doing with your GP, they often will check iron levels. But if you haven't already, I'd highly recommend the book by Oscar Sarilac, who's an Australian GP, called The Postpartum Depletion Cure, where he talks really specifically about certain nutrient levels and what our bloods, the sort of healthy level and the healthy range, which is much smaller than the range that you see often listed on charts at the GP office with your blood tests. So routine blood tests in pregnancy, making sure that if you do start to feel a sudden change in your mental health or in your anxiety levels and stress levels, just to check your nutrient stores and to make sure that you are consuming foods appropriate to pregnancy and to make sure that you're depleting anything specific to you. And I can't stress the importance of individual prescription there, because if you're particularly low, say in iodine, that iodine can impact thyroxine, which is our thyroid hormone, and that can have a significant impact on anxiety and stress levels in the body. So if a woman is having lots of protein and she's trying to increase her iron levels, but she's not having foods that are rich in iodine, then she's not necessarily treating the problem. So blood testing to ensure that we have eliminated the possibility of nutrient deficiencies. And that is really important both in pregnancy and postpartum as number one step to investigate. Could this be one of, as I said, very multifactorial? Could this be one of the things, or is this the whole thing that's contributing to increased anxiety and stress? The next thing that I want to talk about is ways that we can regulate the nervous system in pregnancy. So I've spoken a lot in past episodes on the impact of the breath. So our breath significantly impacts our nervous system regulation. When we're always breathing into our upper chest, this stimulates the nervous system to keep us in a sympathetic fight or flight response. So learning how to be conscious of your breath, learning different breath techniques that help to alleviate stress and help to regulate the nervous system. So learning how to breathe down into your diaphragm and maybe spending 2 minutes a day just sitting and being still and focusing on your diaphragmatic breathing. Because particularly in pregnancy, especially when baby starts to grow, there's a lot of pressure up on the diaphragm. So it can become very difficult and restricting to properly breathe down into the belly. And then women have this tendency to switch into that upper chest breathing pattern, which can then have an impact on the nervous system. And that can, as I said before, trigger that increase in sympathetic dominance and fight or flight response. So increased cortisol, increased heart rate. And then you just have this kind of cycle or flow-on effect. So learning some breath strategies. The first strategy that we focus on in my Support Your Mind, Core and Pelvic Floor course is diaphragmatic breathing. This is a really good place to start. This is what our breathing should be when we're relaxed down into our belly. The belly should be rising and falling with each inhale and each exhale. The next breath technique is our alternate nostril breathing, which is, again, really good for regulating the nervous system. And there is actually quite a strong body of research now that started to come out on alternate nostril breathing and looking at its impact on small case studies, the impact on perceived stress and things like heart rate variability. And they're finding that there's quite good results with alternate nostril breathing to decrease the heart rate and blood pressure and cortisol levels and improve heart rate variability, which is our ability to regulate our nervous system. So alternate nostril breathing is simply a technique where we start usually through the left side and then we're breathing out through the right side and we're alternating the nostril that we're breathing through. Now in Ayurveda, the science of yoga, the left side is seen as the masculine, the feminine, which is a direct route to our right side brain. And now it stimulates our parasympathetic nervous system. And the right side nostril stimulates the opposite side. So that is our masculine side and stimulates the left brain, which is our logical. And that is our sympathetic nervous system. So if we understand that there's this balance from left to right side, and studies now looking at brain MRIs have found that when we breathe through the left side, it lights up that right hemisphere, which is known as the side of logic and is more linked to that parasympathetic nervous system, whereas the left side of the brain is more linked. So left side logical, right side creative, but also linked to that nervous system pattern. So learning just really small, short breath techniques that you can use either throughout pregnancy and just become aware of what's happening in your physical body that might have an impact on your nervous system, like your breath or perhaps storing tension in your body. So notice if you're always tightening through your shoulders and neck or clenching your jaw and your pelvic floor. Are you able to find a yoga practice that allows you to consciously switch off and relax the muscles and therefore having a flow-on effect, relaxing the nervous system and hopefully minimizing or eliminating some of your stress and anxiety? The next tool is increasing the amount of self-care rituals. So everyone has different ways of managing stress. There's always going to be certain things that could be perceived as stressful, especially in pregnancy when there's a lot of unknown. We live in a society that has really glorified control and order and the known. So really this familiarity and structure, whereas birth and pregnancy is something that we have, you know, very little control over the actual outcome. So it can be a very scary time, especially for women who are that A-type personality and like to have control and to plan things, because it can be very hard to plan things in pregnancy and some things are, you know, completely out of your control. So having a practice like journaling, for instance, where you're allowing all of your fears or thoughts to come down onto the paper and then reflecting on them, talking to someone like a counselor or a psychologist that has experience in perinatal or postnatal, and things like affirmations can be really powerful during pregnancy. So just words or statements that are positive and reinforce a particular outcome that is desired. So saying something like, I am in tune with my baby and my breath, or my baby is going to have the birth that it wants and so desires. So just short little statements or affirmations, which we go through how to use affirmations, how to write your own. And in the course that I run, my beautiful friend Jo has a set of affirmation cards that all of my clients get. And there is lots of affirmations on, you know, for both pregnancy and for postpartum. And this could be something like picking an affirmation card and just putting it on the fridge. And there's some beautiful, I had a set of mother affirmations as well, and they were really beautiful, just reminders to come back to how important your work that you're doing as a mother is. So just even simply putting an affirmation on the fridge and reminding yourself. At the moment, I've got one on there that says, the more I let go and surrender, the easier life becomes. So just the simple act of having that reminder that really resonates with me is enough to alleviate some stress and anxiety. I also like to teach the practice of connecting in during pregnancy and massage. So in Ayurveda, there is a tool called Abhyanga, which is self-massage, and it is using warm oils that are suited to your dosha. But this could be something like good quality coconut oil, and warming the oil slightly and then using it to gently massage your body, which is a beautiful way, especially around your belly, to connect in with your baby in pregnancy, and a beautiful way to connect postpartum with baby massage and also self-massage to improve nutrients, because our skin is one of our biggest organs. So if you use good quality oils, then you can actually absorb a lot of the nutrients through your skin, and this can improve, if there is any nutrient deficiencies, improving those stores, improve the quality of the skin, and it's a beautiful way to release endorphins and oxytocin, because it is such an act of self-love. And particularly postpartum, if you've got some tension in your neck and shoulders from nursing and breastfeeding, even just taking that 2 minutes to sit and massage yourself before you have a shower can be enough to eliminate some stress and tension in your physical body particularly. So I'll just refresh what we've gone through so far. We talked about the impact of nutrient deficiencies and diet on stress and anxiety. So I think that's a really important one that often gets missed. And then ways to regulate the nervous system. So breath work, we can also use body work or meditation, exercise like a yoga practice to be conscious and to eliminate some of the tension that we're storing in our physical body. And then self-massage and affirmations. I think the next suggestion and tool that I like to give is actually to create boundaries. So it can be really hard in pregnancy when women are working full-time often. They might have toddlers and then they're also experiencing pregnancy, and the significant changes are occurring in their physical body, and then these changes will soon be implemented and, you know, there'll be massive shifts in their relationship. I really just think it's not spoken enough about, is it? It's so brushed over, this stuff, but it's so important. So pregnancy in particular, and that adaptation with relationships and with the workforce, if we're working full time and aren't necessarily giving ourselves space and time just to reflect and to absorb those changes, and we're expecting ourselves to be able to keep going and doing all of these things, sometimes it just takes actually letting go of things. I think often we are in a culture where we think that we need to add things in to get answers and to get help. We have to add in, whether it's a cream or a supplement or a medication or a yoga practice. I think we're in a culture that thinks that adding things in is going to be the most beneficial. But sometimes it's actually by subtracting things, by eliminating things that aren't necessarily serving us, by saying, no, sorry, I don't have the energy to have dinner with you tonight because I'm exhausted, because I'm actually growing a baby at the moment, and giving yourself that reassurance and honoring the transition and the massive physiological growth that's occurring in your body at the moment, to enable yourself to set those boundaries. And whether that's setting boundaries with friends or in the workplace and saying to your boss, is it okay if I start to drop to lighter duties from a certain date, or are you able to drop back and only do day shift? If you're a nurse or a doctor, can you drop night shift? So setting those boundaries so that we've got less in our lives, and therefore more time just to rest and be present. And I think that can be really hard for some women. And I know some women, when they finish up work at 36 or 38 weeks, they really struggle with all of this time. And I think one of the most important things that we can do for that early postpartum period is learn how to be comfortable just resting and not doing, learning how to be comfortable being. So, as I said, we are in a society that really honors that masculine quality, that doing and that yang, and that is very much the opposite to what happens in, you know, early postpartum and even pregnancy, where it's so much more just growth and being, and it's eliminating all of that doing. So it can be really beneficial to get comfortable just enjoying rest and not doing, particularly because postpartum in the early stages, when you're breastfeeding, that is what we need to be enabling our body to do, is just to rest. So postpartum as well, I see so many mums are in this bounce back culture where the woman who just bounces back is glorified. And even the woman, if we think about, you know, your concept and your thoughts and beliefs around the ideal mother, I think there's often this perception that she needs to be doing it all. She needs to have it all. She has a clean home. She's got a job that she's passionate about. She's able to look after all the kids, work out, keep a tidy home, keep everyone happy. And at the end of the day, that woman that we're kind of glorifying, she is adrenally fatigued and burnt out because it's just not possible. So, you know, asking yourself what's important to you and then setting those boundaries so that you can eliminate things, and particularly in that postpartum, early postpartum phase, not putting unrealistic expectations on yourself and just allowing yourself to prioritize things like self-care. So understanding that the washing can wait and the house might not be clean, but that in order to regulate your nervous system, in order to prioritize your emotional well-being and your mental health, the most important thing for you is, say, rolling out your yoga mat while Bub's asleep and doing 5 or 10 minutes of breath work and gentle yoga practice, or self-massage, or whatever it is for you. And that is why I'm so passionate about teaching this in my course, which really looks at the whole woman. So not just the physical side of things. We do talk about the pelvic floor and the core and physical health, but I talk so much as well about mental health and about setting the scene in pregnancy to give you tools to manage your mental and emotional well-being postpartum. Because often women who rely on, you know, going to a gym class or going to coffee or lunch dates with friends for their mental sanity, when they're early postpartum, they can't rely on these things. They can't necessarily, their physical body's not necessarily capable of getting back to an hour gym class, and they don't have that capacity when they have a baby to just wine and dine with friends. So it's really important to learn those tools in pregnancy to set yourself up for a smooth transition to motherhood by having tools that help you to promote self-care and regulate your nervous system, and ways that are quick. I have a good girlfriend who loves essential oils because postpartum, and she's got a toddler as well, she can just smell the essential oils, and it's such a quick way for her nervous system to be regulated because she associates that smell with a positive feeling, and that increases the endorphins that are being produced. So little rituals like as I said, oil massage or breath work or affirmations or journaling or essential oils, you know, whatever it is, finding those things from your tool basket. But what I want to provide you with in pregnancy is a really vast array of tools that you can start to implement, work out what really works for you. And there's a saying in Ayurveda, which I love repeating, and it is that one man's medicine is another man's poison. And I think that the allopathic model of medicine doesn't address this enough. And when we're looking at mental health and anxiety, that's really important to consider, that there's so many layers to what could be contributing to their mental health. We talked about the gut and the digestive system before, and then there's also things like trauma, so past trauma or birth trauma, which I highly recommend unpacking with someone that you trust, whether that is a psychologist, a counselor, or a friend or family member. So there's so many things that can be impacting your level of anxiety, and potentially if you're doing so much, if you're back at the gym 5 days a week and you're running around after your toddlers and you're picking up your kids from primary school and you're always doing housework and trying to work full time, perhaps that overhaul on the nervous system and the adrenal fatigue is also contributing. So working out, one, is there things that you can eliminate that might actually allow your nervous system to improve so that you're not experiencing that additional stress and anxiety? I think it's always asking yourself, what can I reduce and eliminate? Would I, if I had an extra half an hour to myself, you know, by saying no to something, would I actually feel better than if I added, you know, three psychology appointments and a massage and a date with a friend? Is that actually going to add more stress running around to all of these places? Or perhaps can you prioritize one of those things that really works for you? And then which of the tool basket is your medicine? Finding that and experimenting that with that in pregnancy, setting yourself up for optimal emotional and mental well-being through your pregnancy, and then taking that into your postpartum period. So I'm going to leave it there. If you guys do have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, I will leave a link to the Support Your Mind Core and Pelvic Floor program. Our next course is starting on the 27th of June. So if you are interested, I'll leave a link to the course in the show notes. All right, guys, have a beautiful afternoon, a beautiful evening, and I will see you guys again soon.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.